We are here for such a time as this. This is not just another meeting. I grew up a pastor's kid. My father pastored for many years and then would travel extensively ministering in different churches. So I've sat through a lot of meetings and I've been through a lot of conferences. And our goal for this time is not to just be another meeting. And I mean, there's good things that happen in meetings and there's good things that happen at conferences, but we really believe that this is a divine appointment for everyone that's here. We draw leaders with generally, you know, larger spheres of influence. All of you who are here, we know are really trying to and are making a difference in your community, in your country, where you are called. And we really want this time to be transformational. I have high expectations for what's going to happen during this time. And again, I am much happier if we get five people who actually do something with what we're talking about here than 5,000 who come through and go on with their lives. We want to see change in South Africa, in the United States. Globally, you know, a lot of these issues are actually the same. I know there's some nuances, but globally we are up against it, right? And so a lot of what we're going to be talking about here, regardless of what country you are from, it is going to apply. We have put a lot of time and prayer into this gathering. The organization that I work for called Go Strategic, we really strive to bring together key leaders, equip, activate, and connect. And our heart really is for collaboration, and that's actually the main topic of what I'm going to talk about this morning, especially because as leaders, sometimes there's some key points I think we miss. We're very focused for good reason on where God has called us, but sometimes we can get a little tunnel vision. And so my encouragement this morning is going to be going after us really as leaders to look first at ourselves and then also then to look at those that are around us that maybe we've missed that we could, should be collaborating with. So my heart is to really just exhort us in these ways so that we're not just getting good information, but we're actually going to apply it and have and ignite actual transformation. So you'll see in the notes there, we talk about how the kingdom of God encompasses every area of life, from family to business to government to the arts. Just as there is diversity in the nature of our callings, there is also conversely a uniformity of truths and interconnectivity of principles that underlie how God builds. As believers, we are called to live in personal communion with Him, walking out our personal destiny while also abiding in the collective calling and community within the broader body of Christ. So I want to start first by looking at ourselves personally. It is very easy, again, because we are so focused on the wonderful things that God has called us to, that we sometimes forget the personal. One of the areas of the terms that we like to use for how God builds, we address the idea of jurisdictions. So what we mean when we talk about jurisdictions is how God builds first with personal self-government, then the family, then the church, then the marketplace, then civil government. Meaning civil government should be the very last stop for the needs of a people. And yet we've seen globally, it's gotten flipped on its head, and now civil government is seen as the first stop, where actually God designed it for us, the individual, to be the first stop, self-governed, so that we can have true freedom, because true freedom comes in self-government. It's part of why we're so bound up everywhere, because we're not actually self-governing. We're letting government and the broader spheres do it for us. So if we know we need to start with personal government, I want to remind all of us of that here. Now, I know I'm in a company of peers who feel this way, but I'm still going to say it. There's a handful of leaders, at least that I've met in my lifetime, that think that they've arrived. And the moment that we think that we've arrived, meaning I've got myself together enough, I'm not really dealing with some of the basics of my personal government, if we get to that place, we have a problem. We are always going to need to continue to work towards the renewing of our minds through personal transformation, ongoing growth. I want to work with leaders who recognize that we are called to ongoing transformation and that we are always and need to be teachable. If I can find another teachable leader, and that's not saying that I'm going to teach them, but I mean someone who has a heart of being teachable. And I'm sure, again, I know I'm in good company here. I know you all have met leaders that are not that way. And it's very frustrating because they have a very narrow view of life because they are not teachable. If we are going to get where we need to go, we have to maintain a humble, teachable spirit. Those are the leaders that we want to, we can do something with that, right? So first place we have to start is looking at ourselves. Now, this isn't to say that we can't be an expert in certain areas. I know there are areas where God's going to give you a level of excellence that you really have mastered it. But I'm talking on the heart level of, are we really submitted to Christ on a daily basis, actually self-consciously aware of what we're doing, not just going through the good things and missing the God things? So keeping ourselves positioned so that we can hear the Holy Spirit and not just run on grace in that sense, and not just run on charisma and all those special giftings that we have. We know we've seen that before, where we have wonderful leaders who are running on their gifting, but they don't have the character underneath it to sustain it. We need to always make sure that we've got the character going on so that we are not going to be blindsided by the enemy, falling into not only personal sin, but just missing the mark, because we can run so much on that charisma and calling that we miss that base that is so essential for us as believers. So we've got to make sure that we are grounded personally. I love that Gareth brought up the example of Joseph. I love the story of Joseph. Folks, one of the big issues I think we have in the broader church today is we are sometimes missing having people deal with their past trauma, past experiences. Some of you in psychological terms would, you know, hear about the family of origin and all those things. Joseph, I think, could not, I know actually, I'm going to be bold. I believe Joseph could not have fulfilled his calling if he had not first done the personal work to deal with being sold into slavery by his own family. And if you read the scripture, you see the process. It took years. I think those years of captivity for him were not just circumstantial of the timing of when, you know, when it was ready to put him to a position. I think he needed that time to heal. I think he needed that time to learn to forgive. There's a wonderful little side note in the scripture in the story of Joseph that maybe you've noticed, maybe you haven't. But he named his first or second son Manasseh. I may not be saying it correctly. But the name for that son meant the Lord caused me to forget my pain, the pain of my past. So Joseph had to be positioned where he had looked and dealt with the pain of his past, gotten to a place of forgiveness, so then he could be in a healthy character level place to actually step into that leadership. And I know sometimes we as leaders have skipped over that part because we've got the calling, we've got the fervor, we got the favor, but have we actually dealt with some of those underlying heart issues like Joseph had to deal with, those pains, those wounds, those disappointments? So we've got to make sure we are positioned as leaders to be able to have the character to sustain what God has called us to. Now, I know it may sound like I'm preaching to the choir here, but I wouldn't be sharing this if I haven't seen it over and over again through the years with pastors and leaders that have fallen because they never processed their past. So we've got to be healthy in that place first for ourselves. Have we processed our past? Have we positioned ourselves so that we can have that character and that healing to undergird the work that God has called us to? So it starts with us. Starts with us. Now, after we've looked at, Lord willing, ourselves, and we are positioning ourselves in a healthy place, having our Sabbath, having our quiet time, dealing with past trauma, all those different things, then we need to look at, again, what has God called us to? And the spirit of this event very much is one of collaboration. I have seen, unfortunately, over the years, so many ministries and churches that refuse to work with one another. Now, they would not say that blatantly, but it's that underlying, you know, they won't. You know, we had one of these events in my local community 2 years ago. One of the churches who we have relationship with, numerous friends of mine go there, refused to promote our event because it was at another rival church. Wouldn't even let people know that it was happening. I mean, come on, people. And I have seen this time and time again with different ministries where we are not open. Now, sometimes it's a spirit of competition, but sometimes I think it's just blinders. We're so focused on what we're doing that we just don't realize the other things that are happening. And part of our heart for this time is why we have so many different groups represented here, is we want the left hand to know what the right hand is doing. We are all on the same team, right? We're team, not just team Jesus, we're team kingdom of God, right? We're not just about the gospel of salvation. I love some of you who've heard me speak before, have heard me share this story. You know, if salvation was the end, you know, that really the goal is just to get people saved, my pastor always jokingly would say, well, then when people come up to get baptized, why don't we just hold them under a little bit longer, help them get there quicker? Because salvation's the goal, right? We'll just hold them down a little longer and just help them get there. No, the kingdom of God is the goal. And I think we know that's part of the reason globally we have so many issues. We have a huge, vast majority of people in numerous countries, including my own, the United States, where people profess to be believers. They say they're Christians, but our country is a mess because we've gone just for the gospel of salvation and we've missed the kingdom. And we've got people biblically illiterate, focused on heaven, and compartmentalizing their lives, right? We go to church on Sunday, and then the rest of the week we try to, you know, be good, and then we go back to church on Sunday. And that is not what we're called to. We are called to the kingdom of God, which actually is supposed to change the world. Disciples, right? Disciples turn the world upside down, not Christians. Christians do not change the world. It's only disciples, right? I know I'm in the midst of disciples here because you wouldn't respond to the messaging that we did if you weren't a disciple, right? But a disciple is what? A disciplined learner. So again, going back to what I was mentioning earlier, we're never going to arrive. If you're a disciplined learner, that's ongoing. That means we're in it to win it. We got to keep going, keep going, keep going. There is always more for us. And that also means we've got to broaden our perspective and not just be stuck in our own little world. So let's look at a scripture here I love that talks about collaboration here, which is in 1 Corinthians 12. Many of you know it. Got a slightly different translation here. So 1 Corinthians 12, 14 to 27. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I'm not an eye, or if someone maybe says, I'm not a pastor or I'm not a politician, so I'm not part of the body, you know, fill in the blanks, change those body parts out. Would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body was an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. Or, let's fill in the blank, the church cannot say to the arts, I don't need you. The church cannot say to the business, I don't need you, or I just kind of need you for your money, and then the rest is fine. The church cannot say to public policy, I don't need you because we're going to get out of here hopefully soon. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable, come on, what jurisdictions and parts do we consider less honorable? right? Oh, it's great that you have that little business. How nice. When are you going to quit and get in the ministry? And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the most honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. So inherent in this scripture is the idea, one, that we've got to be aware that we are just a part in a body, right? It's very easy for us, if I'm on eyes, then everything for me is about eyes, right? If I'm a prayer ministry, everything is about prayer. Yes, prayer is important. Prayer needs to happen. And prayer is one part of the body in that sense, right? But so often we get our tunnel vision of it's all about eyes, it's all about ears, it's all about feet, you know, it's all about prayer, or it's all about business, or it's all about church, or, you know, they all, though, are meant to work together. And we've lost that in our disjointed hierarchy. I think we have a very disjointed hierarchy of how we approach things within both the culture and within the church. But we are called to unity, right? Remember, we know the scripture that they will know us by our love for one another. That is one of the wonderful things about the church. Let's be honest, guys. How many people do you know in your church that if you had a choice, you probably would not hang out with them on the weekend? Right? Because church brings people together from our unity is in Christ. It's not in our socioeconomic status, right? It's not necessarily in our personality or ethnicity or go through the list. That if you're in the world, that's generally how you divide up, right? If you're in the world, you go towards people who are like you because you want to feel good about yourself and you can relate. In the church, we are drawn together by something totally outside of ourselves, which is the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. So that means we're forced to hang out with people who are different than us, which is great. And that is what gives us such an incredible opportunity for a witness to the world. Because we are hanging out with people who are older than us, younger than us, make less money, make more money, all of those things, which gives us an incredibly unique position to have collaboration. If all the same parts are together, there's no variety. In the church, we have a wonderful, or we should have a wonderful amount of diversity that we can work together. And that's also what we're wanting to happen here, because this is kingdom of God. This is church, big C, right? That's happening here. Ecclesia coming together. We have so many different incredible groups represented here from numerous countries, numerous jurisdictions, and we need to know what one another is doing, so that we can represent the unified kingdom of God, body of Christ, and be a heck of a lot more efficient and productive and kingdom and showing people the way the kingdom of God works. You know, there's so much disjointed attitudes in the world, and unfortunately still quite a bit that we have in the church and in the kingdom. And we need to be working together so that we can understand, again, the left hand know what the right hand is doing. Now with that, I mentioned earlier jurisdictions and integrity. Again, with that scripture I shared, we need to be aware of the other parts of the body. They have the same value before the Lord. So one area we probably would do well to look at ourselves again would be, are there areas that we have discounted that we think are not as important because they're not the ones that we're called to? Do we need to open our eyes, maybe repent for some of the attitudes we've maybe had towards other ministries or towards other things that are happening that we haven't recognized their key role in the kingdom of God? Or maybe again, you know, there's sins of omission and commission, right? Maybe I think a lot of these things are not necessarily intentional. We just have not thought this way. So we need to open our eyes to think, okay, Lord, what is going on in the broader body? And what are these ministries doing? What are these churches doing that I need to be aware of so that I can direct? And or am I so concerned about my own little kingdom that I don't want to refer anybody, you know, to that church down the street because it's not mine? We've got to release our egos and be okay with, you know, I ran a dance studio for 20 years, which is why, oh my gosh, South Roots, I was just like trying not to cry the whole time. I wanted to get up there and join them. I love dance. I've been a trained dancer my whole life. And in my business that I ran for 20 years, I was shocked how many times people were not willing in the, and I know this happens in other industries, they would not refer dancers to another dance studio, even if they knew what they had wasn't right for them. Because they just were such scarcity mentality of like, I got to hold on to this customer, that even though I know I don't really have what you're looking for, I'm going to spin it in some way to try to keep you. Do we do this in the church and ministries? Yes. And I'm not saying all of you, but we know we're talking collective here. And I am like, okay, Lord, if I don't have what's right for you, I'm doing you a disservice to try to hold on to you and not send you where you should go. And I had so much freedom when that, you know, realizing that with my studio, I was like, you know what? Be blessed. I don't think my tap program is not that strong. You clearly have a gift for tap dance. I'm going to refer you to this place where I know they have a strong tap program. Because what I care about is the gift that's in that person. And I want them to be able to flourish in that. And how many times, again, we look at that with the ministry. I love what our ministry does. I think we have incredible content and methodology. It's wonderful. But the reality is, for some people, it may not be the sound that they need. They need to get it somewhere else. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm not going to try to force somebody to do our schools that it's not the right vibe for them. And that's okay. What I am going to force, though, is I'm going to say, if you don't get it from us, please get it from someone else. Because you do need it. We all need kingdom, presuppositional thinking, worldview, understanding all those things. So we all need that. But again, I'm not going to hold on to that the only way you can get it is through me, our organization. I am happy to direct traffic somewhere else where it's going to be the right fit for them. Because, you know, if you force it, it's not going to be fruitful for them anyways. Because it's not where they're meant to be. We need to bless people. Hey, I understand what we have is not for you. Be blessed. Please go to this church, go to this ministry. And that's part of why we need to know what one another is doing. I get so excited when I find out people that I've connected that are actually doing something with in the kingdom, right? So we need to be able to direct traffic to where different people should be going. Because again, it's not about us, it's about him. And it's not about my bottom line or my ministry or my stature or the pulpit. It's about developing people, right? Again, if I'm not called to serve that person, I'm going to be doing a disservice to them, even while they're learning the word of God. Can you hear that? I mean, they're getting good content, but if it's not where they're meant to be, it's not going to produce the lasting fruit. So we need to be open and understanding and directing people. And again, it's about developing people and it's about growing the kingdom of God. That's it. Coming down the home stretch here. Next point here, we're looking at areas of specialization and areas of collective calling. I've got a word for you. I love it. It's called equipoise. Is anyone familiar with the term equipoise? It's balance. Equipoise, the art of equipoise. It means an equal distribution of weight, an even balance and equilibrium. We often do not have equipoise because we're so focused on one thing. Or we're, again, just kind of ignorant of other things. Equipoise means an awareness of the both and. That, now, again, when I say both and, we're not saying gray. I do believe in truth, absolute truth. But often, you know, there's the spirit of the law and the letter of the law. We've got to be aware of the spirit of the law when we are looking at things and that art of equipoise, the balance that is needed for what each individual, each ministry, each church brings. So that's, again, in the spirit of collaboration, being aware of what others bring. Now, we cannot be an expert in everything, although I do think there's some people who think they are, including many teenage children. Can I get a witness? All right. But we generally are not going to be an expert in everything. So especially when we talk with young people, we always say, okay, what passion is just burning in your heart? What's been there from the beginning? In some way, and let's pursue that. And we need to recognize again for us, hey, the Lord has probably called you to be an expert in several areas, but you're not going to be an expert in a dozen. And sometimes we hurt ourselves trying to be an expert in everything. No, we need to just be an expert in the area that the Lord has called us. And then we need to be aware of the brothers and sisters around us who are an expert in the areas that we are not. Because then we can work again, collaborate, connect. You know what? I don't have a gifting in that area, but can I please have you talk to Gareth? Because I know that's his lane. So again, this is with us having those eyes open. I don't need to do everything. And again, we've seen this with different groups where, you know, they know there's already a great business course, but they insist on making their own business course because they want their name on it. How about, hey, I know there's other places. I do this all the time. Our organization specializes in certain things, and there's certain things we don't. And I'm not going to just create a Go Strategic branded, you know, course just because I want our name on it. I'm going to say, hey, you need to talk to this ministry. You need to meet this person and be able to encourage and direct and connect. So, but I also have a responsibility. We all have a responsibility to be the experts in the areas that God has called us. So I encourage you too, as we're listening during this whole event, you know, listen for what you don't know. A lot of times we listen kind of for what we already know, or we connect with what we agree with. But let's listen for what we don't know and then seek the Holy Spirit again. Okay, Lord, what area? And a lot of us may know our area, but as you know, the Lord continues to grow and call us up and expand our vision on what he's called us to. So what are the areas that maybe in a new season even God has for us? What area are you meant to be an expert in that even today you might be looking at? We are so much more effective together when we work this way. And it also helps us not feel so overwhelmed. I know with the state of the world, it is very easy to get depressed and overwhelmed because there's just so much going on and it feels so insurmountable. But as you know, if each of us, as Nehemiah said, if each of us have our place on the wall and we do well with our place on the wall, and then we stand next to one another, I'm not going to try to cover your place on the wall. I'm going to build my place on the wall, and then I'm going to stand beside you, my brother and my sister, and we're going to make an amazing wall and restore. So we've got to have that perspective. And then that gives me faith. That gives me hope. I don't have to build this whole wall by myself, right? I can work with you in those different places to build up together. And I can be okay with the fact that you might be better at something than me, right? That's great. Wonderful. Walk in your calling and be effective there. And this also helps us when we think this way again, thinking broader, thinking outside of just our particular spot on the wall, but recognizing our wall connects to others. There's a quote actually from one of our books by my father, Winning the Battle for the Minds of Men, where he talks about how God works by attacking the problem from opposite sides at the same time. So that means we've got to be positioned right. If he's attacking it from opposite sides at the same time, what does that mean? That means both sides got to be involved. We got to have the personal change happening. We got to have the political change happening. We've got to have the wall being built in all these numerous places to close that gap. And that's all of us together, but encouraging because it's not so overwhelming. But again, it requires humility. It requires humility of our person. It requires a continual building of our personal character. And it requires those wide eyes open for collaboration. Tell me what you're doing. Let me hear your heart for the ministry that you have so I can be aware, so I can refer the right person to you because I know that's the spot on the wall that they're called to. So we've got to be open. This also relates to something my father said years ago that really, really stuck with me. He was sharing in a personal time with the Lord where he was struggling with something, and the Lord said to him, "You have time to obey me." I think we often, I know I do, my personality, we kind of want to rush things and like, "Lord, you don't understand. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. God, you don't understand. I don't have time to wait." No, some we do. We have time to obey him. We have time to do it right. And we've got to remember that because if we push, you know, the enemy will get behind us and push us faster. If he can't stop us, if he can't waylay us with personal sin or financial difficulty, whatever it is, he'll get behind us and just push us where we go so fast, our character can't sustain it, and we're not building properly, and then we're going to crash and burn. You have time to obey me. So if the Lord has put in your heart to build something, take the time to build it right. Don't rush. The Lord will cover it. We have time because, you know, God's not in a rush. Have we not seen that from the scripture? Read the Old Testament. I mean, he's not in a rush. He's got all the time in the world. So, but we're the ones who tend to want to rush things. And remember, too, even as we get older, there's a wonderful teaching by somebody. Oh, I know actually many of you probably know Dr. Paul Jaley. He was here many years ago. Love Dr. Paul. He did an incredible teaching on Daniel and the reality that Daniel's ministry didn't start till he was like in his 80s. So don't be, you know, gosh, I don't have time. I'm getting old. No, if the Lord's called you to it, you have time for it and you have time to do it right. You have time to obey me. Lastly, on community and collaboration, again, I've touched on this already a bit. They're just having the awareness of what's going on around you. We cannot just have the perspective of, you know, what's in it for me. I literally had, I will not drop names. The naughty side of me wants to drop names, but I won't. I had a large ministry leader, a leader of a large ministry. I don't know how large he was physically, but I digress. The leader of a large ministry in the United States, who I was meeting with to talk about collaborating and explain some of what we do. And I'd reached out to him because I knew a lot of what they did, which was wonderful work, in particular in marketplace ministry. When I explained things at a certain point, then he literally just looked at me and said, well, what's in it for me? I was like, excuse me? Yeah, what's in it for me? And the moment he said that, I was like, okay, I guess we're not as kingdom-minded as I thought. But I think some of us may have that little thought in our heads. We may not verbalize it because we're too holy, but we might think it. And we've got to get out of that mentality. We've got to get out of that mentality or, you know, it's a lot of the reason we're stuck. I want to hearken back to something Gareth said earlier with talking about passing through the fire. I shared this earlier this month. I was up in the Pretoria area. And again, I just want to encourage us because there is so much going on. And I know you're here, you're motivated, you want to make change. At the same time, it's exhausting sometimes. We get tired, we get discouraged. And I shared a story relative to when giving birth. How many women in here have given birth? I know we've got a handful of ladies here. So you're going to know what I'm talking about here in a minute. My father was actually in the delivery room when I gave birth to my first child. He was behind the curtain, you know, for privacy and modesty, but he was in there praying as I was delivering my first child. And I do remember at a certain point, you know, you want that baby, right? You want that child, you're excited, you're in it. And, you know, clearly I've got a calling, right? This baby has a calling. I have a calling. I want this. But then you hit a point, and I think this happens to us in ministry too. You hit a point where you're exhausted or you're discouraged. That person, you know, bailed on you. That person turned on you, whatever circumstance happened. And it's easy to be tempted to give up. But once you're in it, you realize at a certain point with the baby, there's only one way out, and that's getting this baby out. There's no way out but through. And I remember very distinctly when that hit me. And every time I share this, it makes you want to cry because I think it's something in the spirit where you just buckle down and go, okay, Lord, this is it. There's no way out but through. And I remember that shift when I was in the most pain of my life because I chose to do it drug-free. It was rough, but I felt that shift. And then you have this otherworldly supernatural strength that kicks in. And I think we're in a moment like that right now. There's no way out but through. The baby's there. It's gotta come out. And we've got to shift to that resolve, but I think there's encouragement. Like the Lord wants us to go to that place so we don't burn out, so we're not discouraged. Can we shift to that place? There's no way out but through. And we're going to do that. But to do that, again, I've got to be clean with the Lord. I got to continue to manage, self-govern, do my housekeeping. And I've got to connect and collaborate with the broader body. Build that wall, because there's no way out but through. The world demands it, needs it. We know what we're up against. We also know who we serve. And there's no way out but through, but we know who wins. But he wants to use us, right? What a privilege. He wants to use us to make this change. So I just encourage you, brothers and sisters, thank you for being here. I hope you hear the heart of what we are hoping you will get during this time. Holy Spirit, give us wisdom to highlight the nuggets, the truth nuggets that each of us need, and open our eyes to one another, what gifts and ministries and things that are placed in one another that we can connect with strategically for the building of the kingdom of God. Thank you so much.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.